Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Kreisos Daf Yud Gimel. We begin on Yud Beis Amud Beis at the Mishnah, which is around 12 lines from the bottom. So we spoke about a fellow who consumed a kezias worth of forbidden fats. He's liable to a carbon. Now suppose he took his time eating the kezias of chalev. 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. He dragged it out. Is it considered a single act of consumption? Do we combine all the different parts that he ate and consider it one achila of kezias, on which he's chayv echatas? And if yes, how long can that stretch and still be considered one experience? That's the question the Mishnah poses. Kam yisha be'oichlan or ha'oichlan? How long can he drag out the oichel? How long can he, this eater, drag out the eating experience? We have Rabbi Meir's response, and then the Rabban. Rabbi Meir says, "Kilu oichel kloyos." Imagine as though he's eating little kernels, roasted wheat kernels. So we view this chunk of chalev as though it's dissected into little granules, and he's eating one after the other. It could take him all day. That's okay. He's still going to be chayiv. It's considered one eating experience. Divrei Rabbi Meir. V'chacham Omrim, no way. It can't take longer than achilas pras. Very well known phrase in halacha and gemara. So pras literally means half. Half of what? Half of that loaf. Which loaf? Loaf discussed in Maseches Erevin, which consists of 2 meals worth of bread. Half of that is 1 meal worth of bread. And as long as it takes to eat that amount, that's considered a meal's worth, considered one meal experience, one eating experience. So there's a difference of opinion in terms of how long that is. Some say a couple of minutes, some say even 9 minutes. Let's just give a random number, 5, okay? For simplicity. Let's call it 5 minutes. So if he ate this kezias, within that 5 minute period, it's considered one singular act of eating. It's mitzdarif. It combines into one eating experience in his chayiv. V'chacham ayim at sheyisha mitchil v'atzoif. Only at a time from beginning till the end was kedei, the time that it takes to eat the achilas pras, then he's chayiv. But past that point, it's too dispersed, too spread apart. It's beyond the range of a mealtime experience. It doesn't constitute one act of eating a sheer kezias, and he's potter. Continues the Mishnah. Suppose he ate materials which aren't necessarily forbidden, but they're tummy. And midrabanan, when a person eats a certain amount of tummy food, he himself becomes disqualified from eating truma. So again, if it's dragged out, how long could it be dragged out to still be considered? Achal oichlan tmein, he ate impure food, b'shah, so he drank liquids that are tummy, mashkin tmein. Another example, shasar rabiyas yayin, nichnas lamidash. He drank a rabiyas worth of wine, he entered the midash and did the avoida. So if he sipped it, slow go, how long could it take for it to be counted? Vishah. So if it dragged out, again, kedei achilas pras, he's chayiv. Rav Elazar Omer, regarding the wine, it has to be drunk in one go, in pasak, but if he interrupted within the rabiyas of the wine, even a droplet of wine and water, it dilutes it and doesn't have the same intoxicating effect in his potter. So Rabbi Meir says the time frame is as though he's eating kernels, which can take quite a long time. For example, let's just give it it could take a half hour. Is Rabbi Meir holding him accountable if he stretches it that long? Rabbanan say 5 minutes, he says a half hour. Rabbi Meir, Chumra Kamar, Is he adding astringency, stretching the time? Olukula ka'amar, perhaps, actually, he's saying a kula. How? Lukhumar ka'amar, on the one hand, perhaps he's stretching it. Vachiktani. And he means like this. Kiloicha klayos. He says, oh, he's eating these kernels. Tafilu kula yayma, even if it takes a whole day. It's an expression. Vavagav de metchil vatsoif, even though the whole experience was way more than 5 minutes. Yo yisimech de echelas pras. Kivan de mashre echelase, mechayif. The fact is that didn't stretch past the half hour, which is an appropriate time frame, long time that it takes to eat kloya. So it's mechayiv, it's chayiv. That's considered one singular experience. Amarli Rabbanan, Rabbanan responded to that, no way, 5 minutes, no more. Da'ad sheyishev echtechilas prasu b'chayiv. Unless it took him only 5 minutes, fine. But past that point, he's patur. Yoisim dechilas prasu patur. So the first approach is Rabbanan of 5 minutes. Rav Meir says even up to half hour. Odim alukula kama. Perhaps Rav Meir is actually applying a leniency. I agree it's 5 minutes, but even within the 5 minutes, there's another condition, continuous, uninterrupted. Dachik tani kilo echel klayos. It says always eating these kernels continuously, nonstop. Would lo yifsek bini bini without interruption? Avod yifsek bini bini. There's interruption. So let's say it took him 5 minutes in total, but there was some gaps in the middle. That doesn't work. Even though in totality it was just 5 minutes, patur, because of those breaks. To which the Rabbanan respond, no way. No. We look at the totality of the experience. Within 5 minutes, he's good to go. So which way is it? Rabbanan hold 5 minutes. Good. What is Rav Meir saying? Even up to a half hour, he's chayiv, that's l'chumra. Or I agree, it's 5 minutes. But there's another condition, uninterrupted. Tashma, let's go back to the Mishnah and zero in on the semantics, which will give us clarity. So after Rav Meir said that we peg it based on the klayos, Tashma v'chacham oimrim, ad sheyishev echtech leis pras b'chil v'atzoif. The wait, you know, can't be longer than a chilas pras. We turn to the next one. Look, that tells us something about Ramir's position. They were responding to him, right? It all makes sense if Ramir was being machmer. Half hour. I know the tone. That explains their choice of wording. No way. Not up to half hour. It's too far. He's only liable atcha yisha until the stretch is only 5 minutes. Delay until and only a stretch of 5 minutes. Do you say half hour? No. Up to 5 minutes and that's it. Eli Amras Rameh Lakula. But according to the other approach, Rameh was being makel. Even within the 5 minutes, there can't be interruptions. So the Chacham should have responded differently. Their choice of word should be different. They should have said, well, he's exempt according to you? No way. If the wait was only 5 minutes, he's chayiv. If in fact he was exempting, they should have responded with an imsha, as long as he only waited up in the 5 minutes. He's chayiv despite the interruptions in the middle. The fact that they chose to respond with that earlier phrase, ad sheyish. That tells us, Elav Shema Minor Ramir, Luchumra Shema Minor Ramir was being machmer. He was stretching it up to a half hour. No, Ad Sheyisha, only until this much, not further. Amar Avinoy Mashmo. So, when we speak about forbidden materials, it's got to be a kezayis within 5 minutes. Bechalavim, Yed Chelav, Venevelim, which is also forbidden. Ad Sheyisha, Betchilat Soif, Betchilat Pras. From beginning to end, 5 minutes. What about oichlim tameim? Shkotzim ramos, mamashkin tameim. What about items which make a person unfit for a truma because they're a tame? The total amount there is not a kazais. The halacha is that only if he consumes a half a pras, so that pras that we spoke about before, the 4 eggs worth, here it's half that much. So 2 kebetzes, which is way more than a kazais. that makes him unfit for eating truma following that, you know, experience. The question now is, how long do we give him to eat this chatzi pras? Is it standard 5 minutes? Just like a kazayis gets 5 minutes, there's two? Or do we say no? 5 minutes is per kazayis of this much greater quantity. So it can take him way longer. The answer is the second option. That's Shmuel Shita. Afilu kulim kulim. It takes all day. Bechtech lis pras. He's chayiv. Now he seems to contradict himself. Here he says all day. Then he says achilas pras. Back to 5 minutes. My kamo. What do you mean to say? Amar papa chikam. He meant to say like this. Afilu kulim kuloi. Even if the totality took him all day, provided that every single kazayis was done within 5 minutes. So we give him basically 5 minutes per kazayis. Vushachal, provided that he ate kazayis, each kazayis within this greater volume, achilas pras. When totality gets more than 5 minutes, maybe it comes a kasha. From a Mishnah, which seems to say that he only gets 5 minutes in total. Maybe kol oichel mitzdarfen lifsel sagvia b'kachatzi pras. A fellow who consumed a half a pras of tamei material comprised of all types of foods, we combine it. It's mitzdarif. They unite to invalidate the eater from further eating truma. Now, the fact that the braisa did not stipulate that it can stretch for a half hour or an hour, we assume that we apply the standard 5 minute shear. My love, let's assume the achle chatzi pras. He ate this greater amount within the 5 minute time frame. Echtechlis pras. No, who says? Achal kazayis kazayis. Echtechlis pras. Every single kazayis was done within 5 minutes, but in totality it was more. Maybe here comes another kasha. So the Brisa will give us a list of halachis, and right in the beginning we'll have clarity on our question. Maybe kol oichlan mitzdarfen. Once again, you can combine all types of tummy foods. Lipsal sagvia to invalidate. The gvia means the body, the person who eats it. Bika chatzi pras. So if you ate a chatzi pras of tummy materials comprised of all types of foods, it makes him puzzle from Truma. Here comes the punchline. In what time frame? Bikadei achilas pras. Within 5 minutes. So we apply the standard 5 minute rule even for a greater volume of material. That's going to be a kasha and shmo. We'll get back to it later. Let's continue with the brice. All kinds of halachas regarding foods which are tame, drinks without tame. Okay, so for instance, for example, Ochal, he ate a piece of tummy food. V'chaz of Ochal came back for more. Does it tie together? Im mitchilas achil reshina. If from the beginning of the very first portion, v'ad soiv until the very end of the last portion, achil achrena, you only have 5 minutes, k'te achilas pras, mitzdarf, and you combine them. Yesim mekan, past that point, im mitzdarf. Continues the brisa. What if he eats a little bit of the tummy food, not the full amount, jumps into the mikvah? To sort of nip it in the bud so that when he comes back and eats the rest, it won't invalid. Does that work? No. In fact, we don't even allow him to be tayva, lest he, you know, mistakenly misapply the you know, the tvila and make him deem himself tar. A fellow who just ate part of this chatzi pras, he's not yet puzzled for truma, he can't jump into the mikvah. Let's say he did. He went down, he came up, Yishlima, then he completed the shir of Eichon Tmeim. It's Tarif. Actually, it connects to the first part. So you can't be Tevel while the Tum is still in development stages. You can only be Tevel when you're Tumay to remove that Tum, but hadn't yet been activated. He was still mid process, he was still eating the shir. The Brisa continues. Ubra, a woman who was expecting, who's in danger and needs to eat, we allow it to eat lechel pachas mekashir, less than the chatzi pras amount of tummy food, even though she's going to end up eating truma afterwards. Taisa says that's all she has. Because of the danger involved. Because she's in danger. Kol hamashka mistarfen lifsel sagvia b'ravias. Now we shift to tummy liquids. A fellow drinks a ravias of liquid, which are tummy, comprised of all types of liquids, it's mitzdarif. And again, b'chdechel is pras, provided it was done within 5 minutes, k'etzad. Shasa, I drank a bit, b'chazoshadah, came back for more. If it was done within 5 minutes, it's mitzdarf. Im yesh mitchila shtir rishoyna, v'atzoyt shtir achroyna, k'techelas pras mitzdarf. If the whole duration from beginning to end was 5 minutes, it's one and the same, and he's tummy. He's possible for truma. Yesh mekanei mitzdarf. Past that point, it doesn't connect. One last halacha in the brayso. Hitira lo lamaga tmei meis. Let's say the mother had touched a meis, which makes her tummy. So we allow her to nurse the baby, and the baby is unaffected by her tumah status. Hitiru lo lamaga tmeimeis. The parsha explains it means that she came into contact not with the mace itself, but with somebody who touched the mace. So the mace is aviyavoyis, the source, the ultimate source of tumah. The person who touched it becomes an avatumah. She became a rishon of tumah, next level. So despite her tumah status, there's no issue with her nursing her baby, and the baby remains to her, unaffected by the milk that he drew from the mother whose tummy. Lahanik b'natar, the son of Natar, and the son remains to her. Why? Why don't we say that the milk is tummy? Now he consumed such a substantial amount of tummy material, he should become pasal from truma. We'll get to that later. So first, what relates to us is the beginning of the braisa, which has addressed that question of whether we give him a broader time frame for the chatzi pras, or he gets just a plain 5 minutes. Ketonim, yes. In any case, what does the braisa tell us? Im yesh mitchilas achila rishena v'atzef achila achrona bechtechilas pras. Even though we're talking about a large volume of tummy food, not just a kazai, it's a chatzi pras, many kazaisim over, but he has to eat it within a 5 minute time frame. Bechtechilas pras, it's mitzdarif. You don't get an extended time frame. That's a tiyufta refutation on the halacha we had before. That was related by the Rav Noi, right? We had Amar Rav Noi. You get a extended time frame, tiyufta, Rav tiyufta. So bottom line, all agree when it comes to iser material, kazayis within 5 minutes. What about tummy material, which invalidates the person who eats it? And there it's a much greater share than just a kazayis. You have to eat a chatzi pras, many zeisim over. According to Rav Noi, you get an extended time frame. According to the conclusion of the Gemara, you get the same standard 5 minutes, which is the mealtime experience. And whatever you get in there counts as one experience. Past that point, it doesn't connect. Fine. Omar, let's go back and review the other items in the braisa. This fellow who jumped in midway, this fellow who ate only half the disqualifying amount, we don't allow him to go be table at this point. Later, the litpo. Micah Omar. And then the braisa continues. If he was table, then we don't really count it. What's going on? What, first of all, what's the issue? Why don't we allow? My come, I'm Rabbi Dachi Ka'amar. The issue is like this: Ochal pochas mekashir. He consumed only part of the disqualifying amount of tummy material. But don't go be tayva at this point, because you're going to misunderstand the process. You'll mistakenly think that it's going to preempt the tumah from arriving. Because if he in fact does immerse in a mikvah, comes back out, and then he concludes that amount of tumah food, now the tumah gets activated. Mitzdarv, it connects to the first part, and he'll mistakenly believe otherwise. He'll think, I don't feel like I was ready in the mikvah before. I don't need to do another one. Vainly a day, he doesn't realize Shein Tefillah Bachroina. Tefillah can only address an existing tumah at the very end of the process when tumah had been activated. So don't go into the mikvah before it happens. Tani, next part of the braisa, spoke about a woman who's in danger. Material la ubra, a woman expecting. We allow her to eat tumah materials despite the fact that she's going to follow with truma material because she's in danger. And so what she has to eat? Lechal pachzim kashir nesakana. Because she's in danger. Nasakana, she's in danger. Eat whatever you want. Why only a small amount? Amar Papa Ketanim, which means like this. The Braisa meant like this. Ideally, we try to minimize, we try to mitigate the issue. Sure, if she's desperate to eat all at once, sure. But if she could stagger it, like we do on Yom Kippur, loyalty in a person's achayla, we stagger it, we try to give them less than the, you know, the threshold of the Isser amount. So less than, you know, the amount, and we stretch it out beyond the Achilles Pras time frames this way, it mitigates the issue. We allow the Uber Pachis. Pachis make a shear, increments of less than a shear. I feel a tuvo. Although in total it's going to be way more than it. You know, but if you're stretching it out, it turns out that she's eating it past the 5 minute range, that mitigates it. And therefore we ideally we recommend a system. Because of the danger that she's experiencing. So it's preferred that we do it incrementally, if possible. Okay, and the Brisa went on to speak about a nursing mother who's tummy. Ktani, Brisa says, Itiru lamagatmemes, the woman who's tummy, onagizbuna, to nurse the child, and not turn the child's unaffected by her status. Why? Am I tor? Why is the child tor? Kivan the yonak cholov. Itamele, michalov. Once he nurses her milk, which is being produced, which is emerging from a person who's tummy, that chalav is tame. Rashi explains that the fact that he came into contact with his mother, that doesn't make him tame because she's only a rishon l'tumah, which cannot transfer tumah to another person. A person is only mekabel tumah from an avatum, which she's not. But the milk that's coming out, Rashi says, has a din of oichel. Interesting, even though it's liquid, but since it's intended to sustain an infant, provides for his primary sustenance, it's like his food has been an oichel. Okay, and that oichel came into contact with the mother, who's tummy. That food becomes tummy. It's as though the baby drank tummy liquids, which would disqualify him from eating truma, like anybody else who eats tummy foods. Perhaps he'll say, lo yischasher. In order for food to become tummy, it first has to undergo something called hechsher, enablement. It has to come to contact with liquid, which opens the door for tumor susceptibility. So perhaps this milk never went through that hechsher process, and therefore it was not affected by the mother who's tummy. Well, there was Heksher. Why? It experienced Heksher by passing through the droplet of milk. Muluch Leches, which is smeared, which is stuck, apiadad, at the tip of the mother's nipple. Which doesn't have a din of oichel, because the baby is not going to actually get to it, it's not going to eat it, it's going to stay there. Rather, it's considered like mashka, like another liquid. Okay, so you have this milk passing through that droplet over to the baby. This milk is considered eichel, which needs heksher. By passing through that droplet, it experiences heksher, comes in contact with liquid. And then that eichel gets tuma from the mother, and it gets transferred to the baby. Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabba Ravua, there's no liquid, there's no droplet stuck behind. Shiyonak tkiva achas. He sucked so hard, he sucked it away from the mother. There was nothing left behind. He didn't leave any droplet behind. Amar Rav, I have two problems. Shtei tshuvas b'davar. Chada, first of all, he was so efficient. We see his mouth full of milk. Do you know Kedemoli Cholov, the baby's mouth full of milk? Apparently he didn't do such a good, you know, quick suck. It's still milky and it's all. Void makam chalav mayinu. Furthermore, says Rava, Skip the whole issue of food and heksher. Regardless, the milk is being produced by someone whose tummy. It's called a mayon, like a spring, like a well. The makom chol, where the milk is coming, it's a mayon. It's like a factory producing liquid. The halacha is that the mayon belonging to an adam tamei produces tamei material. Forget oichal, forget mashka. By its very essence, it's an extension of the producer, of the tamei person. So it's tamei regardless. I'll even prove to you that it has a din of mayon. Diktani, we have a Mishnah. This one is in Maseches Machshir. It says like this: Chalav Isha mitami bein l'ratzon uveisha le l'ratzon. The milk of an Isha can be mitami whether it emerged l'ratzon willingly, meaning with the tinaik's interest, uveisha le l'ratzon, even without his interest. He's not interested in nursing. By the way, that's how Rashi learns the whole sugya. Focuses on the baby. Shittim Kabesa says it's the Isha that determines whether it's L'Ratzon or not. Okay, in any case, clearly you don't need Ratzon, which is a standard precondition for Heksher to take effect. You have to want it to happen. And here it says wanting is not necessary. And that can only be so if the tumah is based on the ma'ayon factor. Not because it's food, not because it's mashk, because it's a ma'ayon. And a ma'ayon has tumah regardless of ratzon or not. And the Mishnah continues, as opposed to the milk of a cow, behemah, ain't a matama l'ratzon. That needs ratzon. Now, my lav shalei l'ratzon. Bili nichalei. So we're assuming that Shlele Ratzon means that he doesn't want this milk. Now, if milk, which we said is called an oichel, requires heksher by traveling through that droplet, that gives it a heksher tumah. You need Ratzon for that. You need a fellow to be agreeable, to want it. My love, Shlele Ratzon l'nichel, yuktani metam, it says it still has tumah. Clearly, says Rabbi, we're talking about a mayan, which has tumah regardless. It's a natural tumah because it's an extension, so to speak, of the person producing it, who himself is tummy. So back to our question. The Brisa does tell us that the baby is safe from tumah. Why? How's that? Elama Rabbi, I'm taima. You know why the baby is tarred? The suffix. Because, let's remember, this whole tumah is the Rabbana. When you eat tummy food, you become puzzled for tumah. It's only the Rabbana. Now, there are all kinds of uncertainties here. In fact, there are two uncertainties. The suffix in a kashir, we don't know how much he nursed. Did he actually pass that threshold? Did he get to the shir? If we consider it food, you need a chatzi pras of food. We're not sure how much he drank. With suffix l'yonak, perhaps not. In terms of l'yonak, even if you assume that he had the required amount, how long did it take him to nurse it? Was it past the 5-minute mark or not? Suffik yon kebechelas pras. Maybe he did nurse it within the 5-minute time frame. Suffik yon kebechelas pras. Perhaps it took him longer. So because of that, he's safe from any issues. Ulu Rabba da amar mokem chalav mayinu. Boitzorach hechsh. Now comes a question on Rabba, who says that milk emerging from the mother is tamei because it's inherently linked and identified with the mother who's producing it. It's a mayinu. Well, it's a hechsher, doesn't have its own hechsher, like ordinary food which needs to go through the hechsher steps. Here it doesn't. But tonight, listen to this Mishnah Meseches Kelim. Isha should not have chalav midadea. V'naf alavir ataner, a woman who was tummy, and her milk dripped into the airspace of the oven, taner tummy. The whole taner becomes tummy. And the question was asked, hold it, this milk, how does it become tummy? Where's the hechsher? The question that was posed, we asked, where did it get Heksher? Because of that droplet that stayed behind on the mother. Clearly, we're working with the Heksher system because this milk is not automatically tov, it's not naturally tov, it's not mayim. V'chiteimu rava loisarva like Rabbi Yechon, perhaps Rabbi disagrees with Rabbi Yechonon. He holds it is a mayim, and that's why it's tov. By the time you have a brisa, which clears it up without ambiguity. Listen to this brisa. We know that Azav, etc., all those people have self-produced tumos. So if they touch something, it becomes tummy. And likewise, liquids, certain specific liquids which emerge from them, which are under the banner of Mayon, we learn from Sukkim, has certain criteria. It has to be something which is Misagal V'yotze, it gathers within the body and then emerges. So whatever qualifies as Mayon, such as, we'll see later, such as the his saliva, right? So that's tummy, automatically. Even a drop of it is tummy. You don't need a revius. For ordinary liquids that are tummy, they're only tummy if they have a revius. But these are on a much higher tier. They're mayon. And we have a third category, no tummy at all. It doesn't have significance. It doesn't have any value of tummy. Matanya. Nimtzes ha-tumah. It turns out that you have three categories, subdivided into nine. Tisha, mashkin, mezavda. Nine different types of liquids to speak of by these of, with three different statuses. First level, which is totally exempt from tumah, zeya, sweat, v'lechasrucha, pas, v'reiz, solid waste, toyer, meklum, there's no tumah at all. Dimas eini, what about his tears and his eyes, damaga fasai, blood from his wound, turn tumah, raise, v'chalav isha. Okay, go back home, chalav isha. These are only metame as mashke. Metame and tumas mashke, m'raviz, if there's raviz, they transmit tumah. They came into contact with a tamei, fine, but it's not a mayan. Mayan would be even kolshu. Third category is mayan. Raikai, saliva, zoivai, the emission itself, maybe raglav. It's water waste. But tamei to mechamur kolshu, that's considered mayan. Of ezav, and even a drop of it is metame. But chalevisha was not put into this category. The armas mokum chalav mayan, or if you consider the chalav coming from a mayan, the mokum, the source of that chalav, is considered like a spring, like a mayan, and it identifies with the producer to the extent that it's tam, even with the drop. Chalav namin, tam etum achamur, we call shu. So the chalav also should have that higher status, even a drop of it. Touch it, you move it. Tumah chamur, the highest, right? A high, very high level tumah. Just like the other ma'ayonis, kezoi v'viroi koi. Elosh ma'am, no makam chalav isha l'mayon. Clearly it's not a mayon. Like any other food or liquid. Yachi kashya masnais. So what about that mishnah we had before? When the rabbi quoted, mitame ben l'rotzim ben shayla ratzim. Her milk is mitame whether it was willingly or not willingly. Which can only be learned if it's a mayon. Misav shayla ratzim d'amrit l'nichalei. Let me explain to re-explain to you what's going on. You think that the child says, I don't want it. In which case, you would have a point. Because if he really doesn't want it, there's no action happening. Lo, no. Maishle l'rotzen. You know what it means, l'rotzen? He didn't specify his intent. The little baby wasn't... The stomach, Bach adds, the stomach was unspecified. Nor yes, nor not. And we conclude, which allows us to conclude and to speculate, that Daite the Tinek crave the Rabbi Chalav. The Tinek's mind is very drawn to the milk. Of course he wants it. So the assumption is he really wants it. Let's see, he really say, I don't, tar, of course it's tar. Because ultimately, you need Ratzin. Because it's food, and food needs Heksha, which needs Ratzin. Okay, so conclusion. The baby nursing from a mother who's tummy, baby's safe and sound. Why? So Rabbi says, because of all kinds of uncertainties. Did he have a shear? Was it stretched up? Yeah. According to the conclusion of the Gemara, the Echon Shita, and the way the Gemara seems to conclude, the chalav that the baby nurses actually is classified as oichal, because it's his primary sustenance. But oichal needs hechsher, needs to pass through some liquid. Which liquid did it pass through? The droplet stuck on the nipple. And therefore, it's only a matami. It's only matame. If it went through that process. And in this case, the Gemara said, didn't have the, there was no droplet left behind. Okay, so he never got hersha. That's why the child never ingested impure materials. Ochal oichlan tmei. So we take a look at that, at the Mishnah again. He ate impure foods, then we speak about a fellow who drank wine, and he went into the Mikdash. That seems to be an infraction on its own. But then the Mishnah adds, v'shoh, he waited. Why do you have to wait for it to be an infraction? Why wait? Why did Mishnah speak about waiting? Tani Mishnah means like this. We're talking about how long it took him to eat and to drink. He extended the time of eating. It was just not drinking. It took him a while to eat and drink it. And then Nichlas Lamigdash is chayv. Immediately upon entering, actually we'll see later, Tosfos brings that he has to do avoda. So when he drank, in the case of the fellow drank wine, Bevoyachem, come in to do service. That's the issue. So even if he didn't, so just coming in itself is not sufficient to hold him accountable. He has to actually do avoda Beis Hamikdash. And regarding the first items of eating impure materials, some learn that it relates to the Rashi learns that it relates to the din of psul truma. If you eat that much material within that time frame, you're psul from eating truma. Others, Tosfos brings here that he ate things which actually make him tummy ben ha-teira. He has no business being in the Beis HaMikdash because of it. Rabbi Elazar Omer, regarding the fellow who drank a ravias of wine, it's only an issue if he drank it in a manner which intoxicating. He has to be uninterrupted. One gulp, one drink, right? But if he ate it, if he drank it with interruptions, or he diluted it, even a little bit of water, it doesn't have the same effect and he's not liable. Pasuk warns against drinking and entering the Beis HaMikdash. Yayin v'sheicher al teisht. Wine and intoxicating liquid you shouldn't drink. Perhaps even a drop is an issue. Or even from his wine press, fresh grape juice, not yet fermented, not yet with the ability to intoxicate. Is that an issue? Tamalim v'sheicher. Sheicher means something which intoxicates. And also, it's only an issue if it's intoxicating. How much is that? Revius yain. Revius of wine. 40 days old, it's already fermented. So why is the pasuk even mention yayin before the word sheicher? If the main thing is sheicher, lemech to teach you, shemizharnal of kolshu, mizharnal of megitay. Although misa only applies in the second part, something which intoxicates, but ashara, it's forbidden even just plain a drop, even grape juice. There's a law against that. Rabbi the Omer, it's not just limited to wine. Any substance which has some intoxicating effect on a person is included. Rida Omer Yain would mean only El Yain, perhaps only wine. Shamar Shachem Rayim, what are other intoxicating materials? I'm learning Vishshechar, that's the added word. Vishshechar, anything that intoxicates him. Came out of Yain. So why does Torah even specify wine? Just say Shechar, covers it all. The answer is there's a distinction. Al Yain but Misa. If it's wine that he drank, there's Misa. Al Shamar Shachrin, but regarding other Mishachrin, Bashara, it's a law, but there's no misr. Rabbi Elazar Omer, that's the Tana we have in our Mishnah as well. He says, you have to drink it in one shot. Yain al teisht. Don't drink wine before you enter the Mikdash. And the Pasuk continues with Sheikh. According to him, we learn from a Sheikh the manner of drinking it. Al teishteo kederach shechrusai. Hoy mifsik boy barfi. Paused. You want a little revius? Oy nelson tzoichem ayim kosher. Drop of water mixed in potter. Doesn't have that same profound effect. Okay, so Tanakh says it has to be proper wine. Rabbi Yehuda adds even other intoxicating materials. My pligi Tanakh, what's the point of machlekes between Tanakh and Rabbi Yehuda? Tanakh sober, he holds. Coming on Sheikher, we have a Gzeirah Shavah Sheikher here, and Sheikher over there, Minazir. And over there, certainly, it's only wine related materials. So it stops there. Rabbi Yehuda, Loyalov, Sheikher, Sheikher, no, he doesn't have this connection, Minazir. So he adds even other intoxicating materials. Rabbi Lezah Savar, Well, let's hold my sheikha midadu mashachar. It has to be something which has the most profound intoxicating effect, meaning drinking in one shot as a pure wine without dilution at all. Come on, also the sanya. We have a brayso, and we're wondering whose shita is in line with. The brayso adds other materials. Ochol dvela ki'ilis. He ate this pressed fig from ki'ila, very concentrated, dizzying type of material. V'shasa dvash, he drank some sort of honey drink, which has an intoxicating effect, med, right? Ocholav, or some sort of milk drink, which has that effect. V'nechas hamiglash, he enters the nether v'shimash, and he serves like he gets malchus. Whose sheet is that? Like Rabbi Yudah, that's only Rabbi Yudah, who adds the other materials as well. Amar v'dibar achusoy. He says, Allah k'rav liyazer, that the Rabbis must be drunk continuously. V'kari rav alei, in fact, rav, apply the following praise on him, on Rabbi Elazar. Tuvina the Hakim, the best of the Chachamim, meaning in this Machlaikis. He sided with him and his position, which was the best of all. Rab Acha the Hutzal, what happened to him? Havanidra Allah the Visu. He had a nether directed at his wife, not to have anah from her, and he needed to nullify the nether with a Chacham. Also, committed Rab Ashi, comes to Rab Ashi, Amalei, he says, it's a little issue now because I had my meal with my wine. He says, I can't really rule on this. You have to have clarity. You have to have proper frame of mind. You can't have drunk wine and paskin a shiloh. I'm like, Zil Idna, go now. Leave his olamach. Come back tomorrow. In fact, he says, the Rav, because that's what happened by Rav. He wouldn't rule. He wouldn't even give a shir. After he drank wine, the Rav Lemoiki, he wouldn't have the Amoira, the announcer, stand up next to him. Lemoiki Amoira Le, Miyamit Havilchavre, after he had his Yom Tov celebration, food and drink and wine, at that moment, that's it. He canceled, he didn't have any more shiur, any public discourses, until tomorrow, Mishum Shechot, because of Shechot's concerns. So you have to wait until clear again. Amar Lasi says, "Va'amar Rav Lachkar B'Lazer, Rav himself Pasna Gar B'Lazer. Even a little wine dilutes it and mitigates the effect. Umar Duka Rami Be'Maya. I know that you diluted wine. What's the issue?" Amar Lasi says, "Yeah, but for the amount that I drank, even that doesn't help." Amar Lasi, Alei Kasha, that's not a factor. Haber Adis. When it's just a revius, so even a drop of water mitigates the effect. Oh, but you said with a revius, but if you drank more than a revius, even a little water, and it doesn't. How do we know that in fact you cannot judge and rule and paskin on matters of halacha after drinking wine? Because the pasuk right after the warning to the kohen not to drink before doing the avodah says, "Lahavdil." Ben HaKodesh, Ben HaChoyel, Uben HaTomei, Ben HaTor, Elohim says, Bnei Yisrael. We learn from there. And this whole issue applies to a Rav, to a Chacham as well, to refrain from issuing rulings and decisions in matters of Allah under the influence. For instance, executing assessments and appraisals regarding all kinds of monetary obligations, damin. He pledged some money to Beis Hamikdash, varachn or erech, charamin, a different type of hegdash vekdei, all types of monetary obligations. You can't go assess properties and assets, determine obligations. Bein atom bein ator, or the friendship between tamei and tor, elu tumas v'taharis. A rav can't paskin on whether something's tamei or tor. Ulohiras, what's that? Zohiro. Ruling on matters of Isser and Heter, Eskal HaChukim, what's that? Elam Midrash is to go out and present, you know, Brises on the Psukim, which also contain matters of Allah, Asher Dibur Hashem, what's that? So Allah, that's Allah Hashem Sinai. What's Biyad Moshe mean? The Talmud, even Gemara, which has, you know, Allah is embedded and you can learn from it. Allah, Yochalaf HaMishnah, what about just teaching Mishnayos? That's okay. Talmud Lema Lohoyres, only in matters of, you know, issuing rulings and Piskei Allah, but we don't, Rashi says, we don't pass them from Mishnayos. Today, Mishnayos serves as like an index, sort of a source material for further elaboration in the Gemara, which is used for implementation of Halacha by the Mishnah itself. It's not. We don't pass it directly from a Mishnah. So that's okay. Rabbi Yisrael B'Daimer, Yochalav Talmud. You think Talmud is an issue? Talmud Lahayres says only real Pesach, but Talmud, even though it has, you know, halachic elements within it, but since it's not outright halacha, the Rav can speak it in public, even can go teach it even under the influence. Kaman Azal Desanya. We have a brisa which allows a certain form of ruling. Who's that following? Which shita is that in line with? Yotzer Sheretz Tamei, as opposed to ruling between a lizard, some sort of creature which is Tamei, it's where they turn, as opposed to the frog which is okay. Shesu Yain, Moir Menayro, even a Shasu Yain who drank can rule on these, on this matter. Who's speaking? Neima, perhaps it's only Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Yudi, another Rav, Alei Rabban, because it's like Talmud. I feel the Tamer Rabban, even the Rabban would agree in this case it's okay, because everybody knows Shani Yochai is very different. Dizil, go ahead, go back to school, Kari Bei Rav, go learn in the Cheder, Kari Bei Rav. It's not considered a psak, something so obvious and known, so that's not an issue. Amar Rav, Alochir Rabbi Yehuda, that one can teach Talmud even under the influence. So why didn't Rav himself give a shiur after he drank? But Rav Lo Yimaykim Amar Amar, right? Miyam Tov L'Chavreim Shem Shichrus. Shani Rav. Rav is different. The Oiri Moiri, because he had to rule. V'Leikum D'Lo Yoiri. V'Leikum D'Lo Yoiri. Let him withhold from paskening. Better than nothing. Give a Gishmak Lamdash a shiur without halacha. He couldn't do it. Kaleichad Yasa Rav. Whoever Rav would be found, he couldn't be without paskening. Everybody actually says everybody would stream to him. So you can just get up and give an abstract presentation of something. He'd right away be peppered with questions. Okay, so what do we do now? What do we do? Others learn, so they learned that Rav was so calculated in his very movement. Every move was connected with Torah, with Halacha. You would learn from every, even his, you know, plain talk, so to speak, Sicha, Schul, everything was Halacha that you would learn from. People just follow his every movement, and therefore he couldn't go out and, you know, teach in public until it cleared up. You know, there's a story, they bring that from a frog of five of the Lovitz, the founder of Sifter Adas. He invited Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that's all, appointed him as Rosh Hashiva, and he told his bracha, watch that man, he is a living, walking Shulchan Aruch. His every movement, his very motion, is reflective of halachas and Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't do anything that's uncalculated. Everything is oiski cheshbon, perfectly calibrated with the Torah and the halachas of the Torah. No. Halavai. We should get to that. Okay, bottom line, we have the Mishnah with the Din of Achilas Pras. Rameh was the Chumrah, he stretches it even more. Rabbanan, leave it at Achilas Pras. And that pertains to matters of Isra, matters of Tumah as well. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. We had a discussion regarding Chalav Isha. Is it Maichel which needs Heksha, or is it a Mayim which has its own Tumah? And we have three sheetahs regarding entering the Middash and during Avodah with wine in the system. Rabbi Yehuda adds even other intoxicating liquids is an issue. Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be drunk. It won't go without any, even a drop of wine, and that's how we, water, that's how we paskin. And we conclude with the Chiddush, Lahavdil ben Akash ben Achol, that just as you don't enter the Middash without, you know, the proper clarity, the proper awareness, likewise, you don't get involved in Hayra'a unless things are clear and crisp, which allows you to see the way it is and express the true Rosh Hashem. All the best to you, Hatzlacha Rabbah.